International Baptist College is a dynamic ministry of Tri-City Baptist Church in Chandler. IBC offers 3 Bachelor of Arts degrees and 4 graduate degrees. The professors at IBC desire to teach students how to think, live, and lead from a conservative biblical worldview. Whether you are pursuing a degree or laying a biblical foundation for your life, IBC will mentor you into ministry. Please check out our website at ibconline.edu or call 1-800-IBC-4858 for more information.
At one time, Job felt like he was privileged above all else. But now Job is feeling like he's lost above all else, when the fact is that God cares just as much about Job in the place of prominence as he does in the place of humility. He, no matter what trial, no matter what difficulty you're going through, no what valley of the shadow of death you're going through, he is still there.
I'm Celeste Montague. Welcome to Dare to Stand, a radio ministry of Northwest Valley Baptist Church in Glendale, Arizona, featuring the teaching of Senior Pastor Dr. Kevin Shaw. Dare to Stand is on the radio to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ to all who will listen, to carefully teach the truth of God's Word, and to encourage a healthy lifestyle of worshiping and honoring God. For more details about Dare to Stand or the ministry of Northwest Valley Baptist Church, please visit www.daretostand.org or call the church at 623-581-3115. You can receive a free MP3 copy of today's message or the entire series in MP3 format for a small fee by contacting the church. Well, today we continue a study in the book of Job with part 2 of a message titled, God is Good. We're continuing to hear more about the goodness of God, not only from Job's friend Elihu, but from other passages of Scripture and the testimony of God's history. Let's listen as Dr. Shaw talks about God's righteous judgment, which includes judgment of the wicked.
He tempers his might. He also judges the wicked. Let's take a look at verse 6. An example of God, the fact that God is righteous or God is good all the time. Verse 6. He preserveth not the life of the wicked. Now, the idea, there's a general truth here. You say, but what about the exception? See, Job was so consumed with the exception, with the moment, that he was righteous and he was suffering, and there was somebody out there who was wicked, and they seemed to be prospering. In fact, because you can always find those exceptions, where there's somebody that seems to be wicked, and they're prospering, and they seem to prosper their whole life. Everything seems to go okay for them. They move along life, and maybe they leave terrible, horrible destruction in their wake, but they go along happy, and it seems like nothing ever seems to bother them. Everybody else has to clean up after them. Things just seems wonderful to them. And that was frustrating to Job. Remember, though, that there is this truth. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. That's still a general truth. And it still works overall in society. That what we sow, we reap. And eventually we'll reap that. Now, sometimes there are perceptions that seem to be exceptions. It seems to be some people don't reap everything that they should sow. And it seems that there are some people who are righteous and they reap hardship and difficulty throughout their life. There seem to be those exceptions. And we tend to focus on the exceptions without seeing in the general reality and how it works. But remember all of this. Eternity counts. And we forget about that. We tend to think, listen, the way it all should work out right now. Well, God has told us very clearly, it doesn't all work out right now, but it will work out someday. That was the psalmist who said, when I beheld their end, There will be a day when every knee bows and every tongue confesses that Jesus Christ is Lord, the glory of Father. There will be a day when the dead, small and great, stand before the judgment, the great white throne judgment, and they're judged according to their works. That day will come, folks. Heaven counts. Eternity counts. Now, generally speaking, those things happen in this life too. But just in case they don't, it will happen in eternity. Don't forget that. And so God deals with the wicked. People will pay for their sins outside of the mercy of God. What a blessing that God, this great righteous just God, has sent His Son Jesus Christ to die on the cross, to justly take the punishment that is ours, so that we don't have to suffer for our sins, but He suffered in our place for us. And so, example of God does the right thing. He tempers His might. He judges the wicked. He also gives justice to the humble. Let's take a look at verse 7 and 8. He withdraweth not, well, the last part of verse 6. He giveth right to the poor. And that word right is a similar word that we would use for justice in the Old Testament. Righteousness, justice. He giveth justice to the poor. And the idea of that word poor isn't necessarily somebody who is financially destitute. It's somebody who's, as Jesus talked about, being poor in spirit. Humble is the idea of this word. He gives justice to the humble. He will inevitably provide justice. Okay, let's talk about that word. Inevitably. He will inevitably, it will happen. It will come. It is inevitable. Justice will be provided. He will never look away. It's verse 7. He withdraweth not His eyes from the righteous. We say this about police officers, judges, school teachers, parents, anybody that's in authority in any particular place. He looked the other way. Now, what does that mean, well, looking the other way? Well, looking the other way is something is going on either that you don't want to pay attention to, you want to allow to happen that shouldn't happen, you're going to give favoritism to someone. So you look the other way and let them get away with whatever it is they're doing. It's a phrase that we use. What this says is God never looks the other way. Now, there are two aspects to that. One, there is nothing that He is not aware of. He is aware of everything. He sees everything. Everything registers. God, not only does everything register, but not only does it register, but He responds to it. He does something to it. See, there are times when we don't see it. There are times when we see it, but it doesn't register. You know what I'm talking about. You're looking at it, but you're not thinking about it. Your brain's someplace else, so it's not registering. And there are times you're seeing it, you know what it's registering, but you have no sense or don't have any desire to do something about it, and so you don't do it. God is like, none of that is God. God never looks away. So, when you think you're being treated unjustly, when you think you are suffering, just remember, the trials and the tribulations and all those things in your life, He never looks away from you. He does not treat people with disrespect, but with kings, they're on the throne. Yea, He doth establish them forever, and they are exalted. He doesn't treat people with disrespect. See, with God, there is no respecter. With God, there's no respecter of persons. We respect people. Why? Well, we pay attention to people that we think can benefit us or because they're special. We disregard other people. There are people that you drive by you don't pay attention to. I'll tell you this. The 10-year-old or the 5-year-old in the 2-year-old in nursery over here right now is every bit as important to God as anybody in this building. There's no such thing as a super person or super Christian with God. They have some sort of spiritual kings where God treats these people special because they have some special ability. This person is a great preacher. This person is a soul winner. This person has lots of money. This person has political power. This person has talent. God treats the humble the same as the king. You know why that is? None of us can impress him. We can't impress him. And so he gives justice. And so there's no sense of injustice in the world in the sense that there's a respecter of persons. He cares. He plays favorites. He likes this person more than this one. Now, how is that supposed to comfort Job in this moment? Well, Job is feeling like he's forgotten. At one time, Job felt like he was privileged above all else. But now Job is feeling like he's lost above all else, when the fact is that God cares just as much about Job in the place of prominence as he does in the place of humility. He, no matter what trial, no matter what difficulty you're going through, no what valley of a shadow of death you're going through, he is still there.
God was there for Job in the good times and also in the bad times, and that's true for all of us. You're listening to Dare to Stand with Dr. Kevin Shaul as he brings us part two of a message titled God is Good as we continue a study in the book of Job together. Dare to Stand is a radio outreach of Northwest Valley Baptist Church. Please visit daretostand.org to find out more about ministries that are going on at Northwest, like a discipleship ministry for people who are struggling with addiction issues called Freedom That Lasts. Here's Dr. Shaul to tell us a little about this life-changing recovery program at his church.
Hello, this is Kevin Shaul. Are you or someone you know dealing with the agony of an addiction? You cannot change what you do until you let God change who you are. Freedom That Lasts is a discipleship ministry of Northwest Valley Baptist Church that applies the life-transforming principles of the gospel and Christian growth to the problems of life-dominating sins and addictions. All of this happens in an atmosphere of love and accountability. If you would like to know more information about this important ministry, give us a call at 623-581-3115 or visit our website at daretostand.org. Go to the homepage and click the Discipleship Connections button.
Thanks, Dr. Shaul, and please contact Northwest Valley Baptist Church if you or a loved one would like more details about the addiction recovery program called Freedom That Lasts. And now, let's get back to our study in the book of Job as we hear more about Job's struggle with God, about why he is allowing suffering into Job's life.
He gives justice to the humble. He communicates in discipline. Now, this was part of Job's issue. Listen, I'm being punished, but I don't know what I'm being punished for, and so God must be unjust. Now, let's take a look at the verse. Here's what it says. We start in verse 8. And if they be bound, who are they? This is the person that is suffering. If they be bound in fetters and beholden in cords of affliction, then he showeth them their work and their transgression that they have exceeded. He openeth also their ear to discipline and commandeth that they return from iniquity. Now, this is a very simple principle. If God's people are being disciplined, discipline is teaching, not necessarily punishment. Well, he communicates his reason. But Job is saying, listen, God's not communicating anything to me. Well, I would disagree with that. We'll talk about this in a moment. How many would argue with me that God is a good father? You say, go ahead, hold up your hands. God is a good father. How many say God is a bad father? Somebody say, I have no idea what you're talking about. Okay, let's talk about discipline. It's been a while since I have given a spanking in my house, okay? Ever since my youngest child is taller than me, you know, you can get to that point where there are other forms of discipline that are more effective than that. But when our children were small, we did spankings. We had a particular room in our house that we had designated for that purpose. There are two walls between that room and the outside of the house. It's an inner sanctum. That way, if they screamed bloody murder, the neighbors wouldn't hear. It wasn't that we abused our children in any way. It's just sometimes I thought they wanted others to think we were abusing them. So you take them in, and so I take one of the children, and I say, I'm going to give you a spanking. Daddy, why? I'm not going to tell you. If you don't already know, it's too bad. I'm just going to give you the spanking. You figure it out. Now, is that, you tell me, is that an example of good fathering? The answer is no. And why not? Well, what's the purpose of the discipline? The purpose of discipline is to teach. It's to correct. And if I don't give the instruction along with the discipline, it can't possibly accomplish its purpose. Right? Do any of you believe that God is a worse father than me? See, God's purpose in discipline is to correct. And when He is disciplining us, He tells us. I hear people say this all the time, Pastor, I'm having this, you know, I have this sickness that's come into my life, or this terrible thing that has happened, or there's financial problem that's happened in my life. Pastor, is it possible that God is chastening me for something? And I ask them, is He chastening you for something? Is it clear to you that there's something He's chastening you for? No, I have no idea. My answer to that is, then He's probably not, as long as you're willing to think it through. As long as you're open to the teaching of the Lord. Because when God brings circumstances into your life by which He's chastening you, usually, immediately, you know it. The circumstance happens, and in your brain, you immediately go, this is about that. You know. Why? Because God's a good father. And He uses chastening to correct us. In fact, usually the chastening, the circumstances are so closely tied, you can't avoid it. You're having a problem in a relationship, it's because you've been unfaithful in the relationship. The logical connection is very clear. I want you to understand, when God chastens, He communicates. And that's what it says here. When He chastens, He tells them what their sin is. You say, well, what about when discipline comes into my life, but He hasn't communicated? Then it's just discipline. Wait a minute. You say, God disciplines outside of consequences. Yes. What does the word discipline mean? It means teaching. Imagine with me, the little girl comes home from first grade. Mom says to this little girl, how'd school go today? She says, terrible. Mom says, well, why? She says, because I got this homework. And it's hard. Well, what's wrong with that? Well, why did she give it to me? I didn't do anything wrong. And the answer to that is, sometimes we just have to do hard things to learn. And it isn't because we did anything wrong. It's just that's what we have to go through to grow. Isn't that what God told us? The first book, it's interesting, the first book written of the Old Testament and the first book written of the New Testament have this same theme. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith works patience. But let patience have a perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, lacking nothing. You see, sometimes discipline is responsive to what has already happened in our lives. And sometimes discipline is proactive in anticipation of things that will happen in our lives. And it isn't because God hates us. It's because of what He wants to do in us So don't waste your trial. See, God had plans for Job. God was going to magnify himself in Job. God intended that 3,000 years later in Phoenix, Arizona, somebody would be preaching about his life and hundreds of people would be encouraged through his experiences. Job couldn't see all of that. God was working greater things in Job's life than he could possibly understand. You say, well, but what about when he doesn't communicate that to us? But he has communicated that to us. You say, but I don't understand. I understand. Sometimes we don't understand the specifics. But we do know this. He's growing us. If it's not in response, well, even if it is in response to something that we've done that's wrong, he's growing us.
Growing can be painful. In fact, unless there's a problem to overcome, we tend to not grow. Stay tuned. Dr. Shaw will be back with some closing thoughts in a moment. You're listening to Dare to Stand, a radio ministry outreach of Northwest Valley Baptist Church in Glendale, Arizona, where our teacher, Dr. Kevin Shaw, serves as senior pastor. Northwest Valley Baptist Church is located at 4030 West Yorkshire Drive in Glendale. That's just south of the 101 at 40th Avenue. Come visit our new worship center. Sunday worship service is at 9:30 a.m. Adult Bible studies and Sunday school for all ages are at 11 a.m. And Sunday evening service is at 6 p.m. Child care is provided for all services. Wednesday evening activities include prayer meetings, children's and teens programs. Northwest Valley Baptist Church also offers a quality traditional Christian education for your children, grades K through 12, at Arrowhead Christian Academy, located right on the church property at 40th Avenue and Yorkshire Drive. For more details about the church, kids programs, this radio broadcast, or to register your kids for Arrowhead Christian Academy, please visit www.daretostand.org. or call 623-581-3115. Dare to Stand is a listener-supported radio ministry of Northwest Valley Baptist Church. If this teaching is blessing you on the radio, we encourage you to consider giving back to this ministry by making a tax-deductible donation today, which will help to keep this radio program on the air and support a ministry that is helping you to grow. As our way of saying thank you for your donation of any amount, we would like to give you a free CD of Dr. Shaw's teaching. So please call Northwest Valley Baptist Church today at 623-581-3115. We would love to hear from you and serve you in any way. Remember, you can listen to Dare to Stand Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on this same radio station, and you're always welcome to visit us at Northwest Valley Baptist Church for Sunday morning services. Now, here's Dr. Shaw with some closing thoughts about how the Lord uses pain and suffering to grow us up spiritually. I'm Celeste Montague. Do join us for more from the Book of Job next time, right here on Dare to Stand.
And we have these trials and tribulations and difficulties coming into our lives. He's growing us, but he doesn't tell me that. He told you that. James 1 is there in the Bible. It's there for you to see. He's telling you, count it all joy when you fall into different types of temptation. Testing. So he has told us. He has. And that's what he said. He shows them their work. He shows them their transgression. He opens their ear to teaching. That's what that word discipline means. And he commands them to return from their particular sins, if there are particular sins. He communicates his reason. He instructs, but he expects us to respond.